Welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
So, to start this podcast, we decided to do maybe something a little bit different. And I'm just going to confess, I have four loves in this world. First, Jesus, because duh. Second, shout out to the best band in the world, Lainey. Mm-hmm. Third, my one and only ceramics. Love that place. Love that art. Love that medium, as they say, the clay. And fourth, this is where it gets good, Taco Bell. Ooh. So, Jared and Katie, I just want to know your guys' take on Taco Bell. Let's be real and honest.
So why does this intro feel like... it feels like... it feels like those introduce yourselves. Like, I feel like we need to do the echo, like, hey, Maggie, in the
background. Well, I love Taco Bell.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mm. Recently, I've been getting obsessed with the spicy potato soft taco. Shout out to Jenna Williams.
No, that's the real one. I get two of those.
That's a real one. That's real. They're so good. And they're so cheap. They're like $1.29 or something like that.
It was a sad day when they went from $1 to $1.29. I remember the day. They used to be $1. That 29 cents, man, it gets me.
It really does, because then it's like $3 instead of $2.
And you know what's so good too? Just a classic bean burrito. Every time it hits.
But if you're not getting it grilled, what are you doing?
You get it grilled?
I don't get it grilled.
I didn't even know that was an option.
And I get it fresco style. And I get avocado ranch.
That's fancy. That is a fancy order.
Yeah. No, at camp, there are times where Pastor Benjamin Lundquist would bring like boxes and boxes of Taco Bell burritos. And after, like, staff circle, it's, like, 9:30, 10:00. The kids are going to bed, and all the counselors are up in their cabin, and the rest of us staff would just gorge on Taco Bell burritos. And those are the best burritos I've ever had in my entire life.
Those really carried you through.
I had friends that were vegan, strictly vegan, that were chowing down the burritos, because just get to that point.
There was a moment. I was a counselor at Camp Waianae in Hawaii, and... if you've ever been a counselor at summer camp, you know the exhaustion levels are something you've never experienced before. And in Hawaii, everything's outdoors. And so we had like outdoor showers and all these things. I literally had 14 kids that I was counseling on my own. And the one moment I had by myself throughout the day was shower time. So it would be like 10:30 at night, and I would let my kids go to bed, and someone would watch them while I had like 30 minutes to go shower. And I just have this vivid picture in my mind of like standing in the outdoor shower, like water running down my face while I'm eating a Clif Bar, like a peanut butter Clif Bar, because it's like the only moment that you have to eat throughout the day.
Moment of peace.
No, literally. So I'm like standing in the shower just like... so exhausted, my eyes are closed, and I'm just like eating a peanut butter Clif Bar to stay alive.
Like they need wildlife photographers to capture humans working at camp. Like you get to the point where you're so tired, you're so dirty, you don't want to shower, you just crawl into bed, and it's tomorrow's problem. No. Or heck, it's the weekend's problem.
Like, 100%. It gets real when you start asking for your campers for snacks.
Yeah.
You asked your campers for snacks. Like,
can I have something? And they're like, oh yeah, of course. And I'm like, perfect. It's like free.
No, literally. They would give me like comic books to read when we had our nap time, because I didn't want to really sleep sometimes, which I don't even know why. But they would give me comic books, and I'd finish them throughout the week, and I'd be like, hey, you have any more?
And that's so funny.
Give me more. Anyways,
starting to wonder who was the actual counselor, the kids or you guys?
I was the co-counselor, so.
You were the fun parent.
I think the funniest thing I ever did was like my last week at camp one summer, and I was just so done. I was like over it. I was like, why did I do this summer? Like, this is so silly of me. I could have just been tanning at the pool like every day, and here I am just slaving away. And I literally got to the point, and I'm not even going to say which camp this was at, because like I probably should not have done this, but one summer I got to the point where literally I just told my girls, I was like, I'm gonna go take a 30 minute nap you guys better be quiet.
That's terrible.
And one of them wanted to take her braids out. And I was like, yeah, sure, you can take them out. Have all the girls help you. But I was like, I'm not helping. And literally, I took a 30-minute nap while they all, like, unbraided her braids. Yeah, that was probably not the smartest idea, but it's okay. They were teens, so, you know, it's not like as big of a deal.
This is our little plug for summer camp. If you don't know what you're doing this summer, maybe the Lord is calling.
If you've said that prayer, God, if it, like, if you want me to at camp, give me a sign. This is your sign.
Yeah, this is a strong green light.
Yes.
Like, flashing in your direction.
Yeah.
Because even though it was really hard at times, it changed my life.
Mm. What's the biggest thing you learned from summer camp?
Oh, where do I start? I think the biggest thing that I learned at camp is the power of prayer, probably. Mm. Because you're working all day long. You are so tired. You make endless friendships, you know, that will never go away.
Mm-hmm.
But you realize, like, holy cow, this is a production. Mm-hmm. And, like, even though we all signed up to be here and to, you know, serve each other and to serve the campers, like, we really need prayer. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to make it without prayer. Mm-hmm. And, like, it transformed lives. So I think that's probably the biggest thing I learned. And also that, like, if something goes wrong, oh, well, there's a new day, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you never know what to expect. Every day is different. And every summer is different.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Hmm. What's the biggest thing you learned at camp, Maggie?
So I think it was, like, adventure week. And, like, so the campers are, like, 7 or 8 or something like that. And I had one of them in, like, one of the camps that I worked at, Cajada. They have this thing called, like, the flying chair. And it's pretty much this huge swing. I don't know if you guys have, like, ever been on one of those. Mm-hmm. And one of my campers, she got up to go. And, like, I don't remember if she had done it before or something. But she got, and she sat there. And, like, she just started freaking out. Just, like, I could just see, like, the fear, like, completely overwhelm her. And I just walked up to her. And I was like, sister, listen. I was like, I understand what this feels like right now. But I just want you to know that, like, this fear that you're feeling, like, first off, it's okay to feel it.
Mm.
But I was like, just know it's not from God, because God doesn't give you a spirit of fear. Like, he gives you a spirit of, like,
love
and of sound mind. And I think what was so beneficial was, like, I think that God puts us in moments in our lives, like, when we're able to talk to our little 7-year-old self and, like, heal that part of you that you felt like never got healed. Because I think I struggle and still do struggle with fear so much because I never knew that it was okay to feel it. So I lived a constant life of avoiding fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never wanted to play sports because what if I wasn't good enough? Like, I love art and music, but I typically have avoided it in the past because, oh, what if there's someone better than me and I'm going to fail? And then having that fear of failure, but just being able to tell her, listen, like, you can feel fear. Like, first off, it's completely okay, but just know that it's not from God, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. That's so powerful.
What about you, Katie?
Yeah, summer camp is very interesting for me because I, like, when you say the word summer camp, that represents so much of my life. Mm. I was a youth director's kid, and so I grew up at summer camp. Like, every summer I lived there from when I was 8 years old to, like, 16 years old.
That's so cool.
And then every summer during high school, I would fly back and either volunteer if I wasn't 18 yet, or then once I turned 18, I would work there too. So summer camp is so much of my life, and I learned so many things from summer camp. I think there was a pivotal moment for me, like, little Katie. I was probably, like, 10 years old. I remember sitting in the back of the chapel. And they do, you know how they do the passion play every Friday night?
Mm.
And I remember sitting there in the back watching the passion play happen. And the power of the resurrection hit me in a way that I don't think I've ever experienced before. And I remember watching the story, like, the simple gospel, who God is, the story of what Jesus did. I remember watching that impact other kids my age, and
that just blowing my mind. I mean, I had grown up listening to these stories, bedtime stories, you know, and then to watch kids who'd never heard that before and watching just the Holy Spirit love them and hug them in a way that just let the tears flow. I mean, I was so impacted by that. And I think early on, that was the first moment at summer camp where I decided, I was like, man, if this is the power of the story of Jesus, the power of Scripture, mm-hmm. the power of who God is, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection, then man, I want that to be a part of my life for the rest of my life.
Mm. Wow.
And then, yeah, I mean, there's a million things I've learned from summer camp, but that's like the first thing I remember learning from summer camp. And right. I was probably 10. And I just remember thinking, wow, the power of letting the story of Jesus saturate your life is so huge. And yeah, speaking of the power of Scripture, that's actually what we're going to kind of dive into today. We were sitting around here just thinking about the things that have impacted our walk with God. And probably the number one thing that pivoted all of our journeys with God was the moment that we allowed Scripture to hit us in a new way and to almost let the story of the Gospels like saturate our lives. So yeah, I guess I'll ask Jerrica this. do you want to tell us maybe about an encounter you had, maybe your first encounter with lingering in Scripture and maybe the impact that just letting the simple red words speak life into you? Because I think it's really interesting. I think it's very easy to stick to your devotionals and forget to let the Bible be the one thing that you read. So I'm just curious, like, tell us about your first encounter with Scripture.
Okay, so the first Bible I ever got was like 2 inches thick, and it was like the classic hardcover cardboard type. I think it was from Walmart. It was like neon green. It had like a bunch of jungle animals on it.
That's awesome. Mine was bright pink. My first Bible was bright, bright pink.
Yeah.
And it said Young Scholar on the front.
Yes, yes. That was my second Bible, but periwinkle.
Yes. Ooh, my sister had that one.
Yes.
Wow, guys.
Walmart.
This is so funny.
The power of Walmart. Anyways.
Walmart and Taco Bell. Walmart, Taco Bell, and summer camp.
Yeah, deep guys. Anyways, I think my mom got that for me when I was like 3 or 4. I've had that all my life. And growing up, like during church, I didn't really understand. I think before I could read, I didn't really understand what it was. I just knew it was sacred. You never put anything on top of it. You never put it on the floor. You never dropped it. But I would color in mine. So mine definitely has like ripped pages and colors and like scribbles because I thought I was taking notes like my mom or like trying to underline passages like her.
That's so sweet.
And like I just didn't really fully understand the power of it probably until like late middle school. And that's when I had my little periwinkle one that had a magnet attachment to the front and with like embroidered flowers. And I loved that Bible. I remember it had like silver lining on the pages, and I would turn each page really, really carefully because by that time I understood like that it was sacred even more so than that green Bible I had. And of course, like we would read it. I grew up in like an Adventist elementary school. So we'd read it all the time. We'd have memory verses. We'd have to write them out in cursive and like stuff like that. And so memorizing Scripture and just reading was just kind of a part of my family and like what we did. And Friday nights were very special and we'd always read the Bible then. But I think, oh yeah, and then when I was in like 5th grade, I made it a point to read the Bible all the way through just to say that I could read it and that I read it all the way through. And so I did. And man, there were things in there that I did not understand, like the murder, like the incest. Like,
wait, how old were you?
5th grade. That's so like 10.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was very, okay, side note. I don't think like I think if we had gone to school together when we were younger, we probably would not have been friends.
No, girl.
There's no way. We
would have been friends. I was so interesting. Like, let me tell
guys,
you.
Guys, I was a homeschooler. There's no way you would have been friends.
We would have been friends. Maybe.
I went to a school with 20 kids. Yeah. That's it. And one of the kids in my class would step on thorns, wrap towels around his feet. I'm not kidding. He would wrap towels around his feet, and then he would step on thorns. And he's like, Maggie, these are what you call moccasins. And I was like, are you sure? I was like, but are you sure? I'm telling you, we would have been friends. Yeah. I just have a... Here's the thing. I have a feeling that we're not all weird. We're just all quirky. You know?
Right. Yeah. We're, keep we were telling ourselves girls. That.
Still are. Oh, no, but I like made it a point to tell everyone that I had read the Bible completely through. And like during Sabbath schools, we did this thing where my teacher would like say, oh, find the first person to find 1 Thessalonians 3, like wins a point. And I was so good. I was so good at it. So like, I guess on the outside, like it was perfect, right? I just didn't really have like an understanding of what the word meant to me as well as what God meant to me. And so the end of middle school, like my eighth grade year was really rough. Like you're about to go to high school, and I was going to go to a high school that wasn't Adventist. So it was a lot bigger. I think I mentioned this earlier. Like they had football. That scared the heck out of me. Like, I don't know. And so I think then I started reading the Bible more personally. Like, what can I gain from this? It wasn't necessarily like, what is God telling me? It was more like, oh crap, I'm freaking out. Let me just try and find something that will give me peace. Instant, like, gratification. Wow. Right. And then high school, like, you know, I still was going to an Advent or to a Christian school, but it wasn't as deep because there were so many, like, new things in my life. Like, I'm still trying to figure out who I am and what this new school means to me. And at this point, oh, I forgot about this. Sorry, guys. I got baptized when I was 11. And I think, I will be honest, guys, I only got baptized for the gift basket. Like 1,000% for the gift basket. Because my church would get these fat gift baskets with like all these little goodies and like, no one of my prouder moments. Anyways. So
it's like a little confession moment.
I'm just being so raw.
It's okay. Let me just empathize with you. I got baptized, no lie, because JJ got baptized. And I...
That's such a younger sibling.
Like, this is so weird. Like, I was embarrassed to do it by myself. And like, I was so scared to get baptized in front of anyone. Which is like so silly to think about now. But I was like, well, JJ's doing it. Like, this is my time. I guess I should just do it too.
Yeah.
So I feel
like... Have either of you been rebaptized?
I haven't.
So Jerrica has.
I haven't, yeah.
No. Well, that's like a whole... That's further down the line. But yeah, so I got baptized and my parents got me this... I still have it. My leather Bible, and it has my name engraved in it. And that was like their baptism gift. And it just... They like wrote a little note inside and it's so precious and I will have this until I die. But anyways... like going through the whole baptismal series, I knew everything, right? The Sabbath is the Lord's day. You don't eat meat. You don't drink alcohol. Okay, we're done. Like 28 fundamental beliefs, you know? And so anyways, back to high school, I kind of like fell apart a little bit. It was more routine. It wasn't, well, the early half of high school, it wasn't like, oh, I'm searching for answers anymore. It's just like, complacency, whatever, I'm at a Christian school. I have bigger things to worry about. And then the later half of my high school, when I transferred to MBA, like that changed my life. It kind of went from, oh, whatever, to I am searching. Like what, like who am I, you know? Like what do I believe? I'm surrounded by people who believe the same thing as me, which by the way, I highly recommend. If you're at a good point in your life to do so. And like, so it just became super powerful. And then I went off to college and okay, another raw moment. So after high school ended, I went through a breakup and I think that really just sent me. Like I think when dealing with situations like that, it's really easy to distract yourself and to just jump into, you know, other situationships or like completely fall away from God or not even like try to understand what he's telling you. But I think I just really like sat down and I was like, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm just gonna, you know, pray about this every single day. Mm-hmm. I am in so much pain and like you are the only way for me to handle this. I don't even know why I'm necessarily searching like or going to you because I haven't really done that in the past. Mm-hmm. But like for some reason I know you're the right answer. And so I started prayer journaling and like gratitude journaling, and that just really shifted my focus to like, wow, God is so good. Like, and I'd go to bed if I didn't read my Bible or if I didn't like, I don't know, if I didn't have time throughout the day, I just would feel so empty, like hungry. Mm-hmm. Like that is an actual thing, like to be hungry wow. for the word. And so I would like, in my quiet time, I would just, you know, sit and read like, what is God telling me today? And so I started reading Psalms and I love Psalms. Like it is so powerful and you relate, like David, there are times where David is so angry and he's like, God, like kill my enemies, and if their wives and children are like, you know, helpless in the streets, kill them too. And like if their grandchildren, like it's brutal because he's so angry and he's so passionate. And so like there are lots of times where I would just relate to Psalms or I'd see like David hurting and suffering and him just praising God at the end of his rant. And so I was like, okay, that's such a, you know, this is helping me process. I'm going to rant about everything, but then I'm going to praise him. And I think that just really started my walk with God and what the word meant to me. And like, God is love, right? And the word is God. God is the word, right? The word is with us. And so like, I felt like I had a deeper appreciation for what that meant and the way that God communicated to me. And then it wasn't until later that my prayer journey fully like took off. But as far as scripture and like the word, I would say that's probably, I don't know, that's what it meant to me. And like, it still means like that to me. So.
Oh, that's really good. Oh, just like so many thoughts coming. Like, you guys know the Bible verse that just talks about like, the Spirit of God will bring you like the right words for the right time or something like that. I feel like that's one thing, like just hearing your story. And I think something that like stood out to me, like what you said, is like God is love and like the word is God. And I think it's just a love story.
Yeah.
You know, like the moment, literally from the moment in Genesis, it like mapped out like Jesus and like him dying for us and like saving us. And even just, Katie, like what you said, the simple gospel, like I feel like recently that's something that has like really just spoke to me and like stood out to me. Like recently, I think like what the Bible means to me is like, I think I've definitely lived in a place of just like opening my Bible when I need an answer. I'm like, okay, God, like what do you have ready for me today? Like, okay, let's give me an answer. And it kind of just like goes back to like when we were talking about like yes and no, you know what I mean? Like, give me that yes, give me that no. And I don't know if I've said this before, and I'm sure I have, but just like recently my mom told me, like, Maggie, stop seeking an answer and start seeking God. And I feel like like where you can do that is just like in reading your Bible. Mm-hmm. And just being like, okay, God, like I just want to know you. Like I just want to know like your heart and who you are and stuff. And I think I have kind of an, if I'm going to be honest, like an up and down relationship with the Bible. Like, I think it's easy for me to like listen to like podcasts where they talk about God or like listen to sermons or even just like Christian music. But like, there's definitely been times in my life where like, I feel like I've been more consistent in reading the Bible, but there's a lot of times when I'm just like not consistent. And I feel like I have experienced like the spiritual like hungry or hunger, you know. I feel like I have experienced that, but then like there's times where I feel like I've opened the Bible and all I see is words.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, okay.
Like, and how are they relevant?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I don't know if this is a good segue or not, but it literally just reminds me, before we started, we talked about this Ellen White quote about how she just talks about like
is the Bible so boring and yet God calls us to it? And she's just like, no, you just don't have the Spirit of God with you. And I think like it comes through consistency and like, like you're not like, I think God is with you no matter what, but like, you're not going to notice that he's with you until you take the time to realize that he is with you. Mm-hmm. And so just like realizing it and being aware of his presence, like I think comes through like prayer and reading the Bible. And I feel like I'm still trying to figure it out too. Like, which is like hard to admit sometimes. And like, I wish I was better, but I think I like know the strength and the power of it. But sometimes like the consistency of like reading the Bible, I think takes a little bit more effort. Cause like prayer is just like, okay, let me talk to God real fast, you know? But I think reading the Bible just takes a little bit more time and a little bit more effort. But I think it is super powerful and like meaningful.
It's like the open the eyes of my heart. That yeah. just came to open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Because it really is, once you're consistent, you, like there's so many things around the world and around your world that relate. You're like, oh my gosh, I just read a verse yes. about this yes. the other day.
Yes, yes.
And you're just like, wow. And you see so many little connections. And then I find when I'm not necessarily in my like reading high of
right
this, you know, God or the Bible, like I'm blind. I don't really make those connections.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's the thing. It's like when you're doing the work, like God is like, God's always doing the work. But like when you're doing the work, you realize the work God's doing.
Wow.
And like, I think one thing for that is like recently I woke up just praying because I just had something like weighing heavy on my heart. And I was like, wait, Maggie is praying about this, like holding on, if that made sense. Like I was just praying about a situation and I was like, do I just need to like completely surrender this to God and just like not pray about it? Cause I was like, is any part of praying about it just like kind of like reminding myself about it and like holding on? And a Bible verse came to my mind and I was like, well, like, I don't know, like if it's like that relevant or anything. And I was like, I don't know. And I opened my Bible app and it's literally the verse of the day.
Wow.
And I just think like, that's the power of the word, you know,
yeah.
like just God reaffirming things in your life that you wouldn't have, like that wouldn't be reaffirmed, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's like, I think JJ told me the story of like, he felt like he read a verse in the Bible one day. He goes to a Vespers and it's literally all about that verse. And it's like, I just think it's that simple. And it just like, right, like mm-hmm. what you said, like opens your eyes to like how God is moving.
Yeah. Mm. Katie, what does the word mean to you?
Yeah. I think the biggest lie I ever believed about scripture and devotions was the perfection lie.
Mm-hmm.
I believed for the longest time that if I inputted the correct formula, I would automatically receive the feeling of Jesus being close.
Wow.
And I think I spent several years of my life trying to have the perfect devotion or the perfect way of reading the Bible. And I think that left me in a very confused place where I thought that my prayer journal had to look beautiful and I would see my friends with just all these artistic abilities and so beautifully aesthetic prayer journals and
yeah.
perfectly underlined Bibles and had this set hour of the day that they always came to the Lord. And I really struggled with that because I would compare myself to people that had perfect devotions and,
or what you thought was perfect,
or what I yeah. thought was a perfect devotion. And when my messy day that ended up just being 10 minutes of like crying out to God during my lunch break, like I automatically thought that I was failing in my relationship with God because my time in scripture was not perfect. My prayer journal was an absolute scribbled mess. And I love backpacking. If you're my friend and you're listening, you know that I love being outside. And, there's this thing that we do each year called Teen Bible Academy, and we basically spend 10 days just backpacking and in solitude with God. And I remember on a backpacking trip two summers ago, I was sitting by a lake and I was in my solitude time, just reading my Bible. And I ended up in the road to Emmaus where Jesus is walking with the disciples and they don't see that he's walking next to them. Mm. And I remember thinking, God, I just want you to be revealed in my life. Like, I just want to be able to see you. Mm. And I don't understand why I'm not, because either A, I'm striving for perfection in my devotions, and sometimes I would get it. Like, I would have cute artsy things in my prayer journal and I would have an hour with Jesus exactly. And yet I wasn't feeling close to God and I was wondering why and what was wrong with me and what was wrong with my devotions. And then when my devotions were not perfect, I would be like, well, the reason I haven't felt God recently is because I haven't been having perfect devotions with him. But it dawned on me a couple years ago about the fact that in the road to Emmaus, the way that Jesus was revealed to his disciples was when they were willing to simply sit down and eat with Jesus as a friend. Mm. And I just remember thinking, whoa, my devotions don't have to be perfect to be able to come to the throne of God. And if I want him to be revealed in my life, just eat lunch with him.
Wow.
Just eat lunch with him. Eat breakfast with him. Like, and that breaking off of the pressure of perfect devotions with God is what saved me and my devotions with Jesus, because all of a sudden my prayer journal just became this scribbled mess, and yet it was the most precious thing ever because it was where my mess fell into the hands of Jesus. Mm. And I remember being able to open my Bible and read and not come up with some incredible conclusion from it and just let the story saturate my life. Yeah. And when I let that happen, it was like my lens on life shifted. Like, just the act of sitting by a lake and reading through the Gospel of Mark, that shifted my whole outlook on life, because all of a sudden, just the fact that I had been sitting in scripture made it so that the lens that I was looking at life was just completely Jesus covered, if that makes sense. So I don't know. I guess I just wanted to share that, because if you're listening to our stories and maybe you relate to all of it or maybe you relate to none of it, we just want you to know that the reason we speak of the power of scripture is because of the pivotal moments that we've had in our lives where being in scripture just shifted our perspective on life immensely. But on the flip side of that, you don't have to have perfect devotions to come to the throne of God. Like, if you are only spending, someone told me this, one of my mentors once said, if you want to read the Bible more, try reading the Bible and you'll start to want to read it more. If you want to pray more, try reading a little bit. And, or if you want to start praying more, just pray and you'll want to pray more. Like, start small. It doesn't have to be 3 hours of scripture in the morning. Like, just start small and let that saturate your life. And yeah, we pray that you're blessed by that. Anyway, yeah, I wanted to say that, like, that was a lie that I believed, was that my devotions and time with Jesus had to look perfect. And when I finally realized that that was not the case, then the power of scripture really hit my life, because I let my messiness meet the messiness of the people in the Bible and watched God just work in their lives, which gave me hope that God could work in the messiness of my life.
It reminds me of, like, how the Pharisees would go out in public to pray so that people could see them praying and so that they would know that they're righteous. But God was like, no, like hide away, go to a dark room.
Right.
And it's like, come as you are. Literally, yes. there's no, I think there's a certain, like, I don't know, longing to be complete and to be whole. And when you say, like, perfection in your devotion, I think, like, ultimately it's wholeness to be, I guess, have this wholeness in your devotion so that you feel whole. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you can't have a genuine relationship with someone if you're just trying to be perfect all the time. And, like, when you're talking to God, there are times where I'm just, like, screaming in my car or like just absolutely sobbing, or like, hey God, I saw a bird. It's really pretty. Thank you so much for it.
Yeah.
You know, or like, I ate this really yummy lunch, you know? And then like, I think it's still important to find time throughout your day, either in the morning or in the evening, just to, you know, be in his presence and read. But you're right. Like, God doesn't want perfect people, because we're not perfect people. We're not whole people without him. And it's like, just come as you are.
Yeah. And when you're willing to do that and you read the Bible, like, turns out everybody in the Bible was a hot mess too. Like,
1,000%.
If you have read the Bible, you know there are some wild stories in there. Like, what? Like, it is definitely needs to be rated like PG-13 or maybe worse. Like, there's some
X-rated.
Yes. There's like crazy things in the Bible.
It's like, oop.
Yes. And it's, I don't know, it's just so freeing to know that, yeah, like, flee from the religious cage that says you must be perfect, and the way that you come to, the way that you attack reading the Bible should be this perfect formula.
Right.
Like, where is that coming from?
Right.
Because as soon as you actually dive into the Bible, you're going to find out that there is no perfection in the Bible other than Jesus. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, literally.
Or like perfection, but to whose standard? You know, your parents?
Yes.
The people in the church that told you, oh, you must do this. Oh, you need to do this. And I think it comes from a loving place of experience and like realizing how much like Jesus has transformed like the people's lives that have gone before us. But I think sometimes like the interpretation of it can get like, the way it's interpreted or the way it's translated, like, we can get lost in the meaning of, like, what someone wants us for us, like, rather, like, than the way that they present it to us, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing that was, like, wow, Katie, like, so good that what you're saying is, like, how you're saying, again, like, going to the Word and, like, feeling like, or going to God feeling like you have to be perfect or feeling like you have to have it all together, or, like, you have to read the Bible and, like, find something, like, so beneficial to your life. And it reminded me, when I was like in high school, I started reading the Messiah, and I think the biggest thing that stood out to me was it just talked about like the Pharisees knew the Bible back and forwards. Yep. Like,
you can know and the scripture facts,
memorized it, like knew the first five chapters, like totally completely memorized. And it's like, and yet when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, they didn't even realize that God was there.
Ooh.
But who did? Yeah. Like Anna and what was the other guy's name? Yes, because they had a relationship with God.
Mm.
They had the presence of God in their life. Yeah. And then it reminded me of this verse in John 5:39, where it says, and I think it's Jesus talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Wow. And like the whole thing about the Bible is it's just like God's love letter to us saying like, I've died for you. Like, yeah. I want you. Like, I'm pursuing you. I'm chasing after you. Like, I'm literally standing at the door consistently, constantly knocking. You know, and like all we have to do is open it. That's it. But God's always pursuing. Like, he's always standing at that door. Mm. All we have to do is open it. Like, that's it.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
Oh, I had a thought and I lost it. Sorry. I was looking through my best friend and I's like what we sent each other on Instagram, and man, we are unhinged. But like one thing that I've like struggled with is when people portray or try to portray the perfect like devotional life, like posting on Instagram really cute pics of them at a coffee shop with their Bible completely filled in with all different colors, underlining different passages. And but then like, well, this is a whole nother thing, but like professing to be someone when you're actually not, when their character says something different. And so there's something that like, it just made me think of that, because our relationships with God are personal and they're our own. And yes, we are called to be witnesses to Christ and his character and his love. And like the camp I worked at, their motto is to show a love so compelling that others will spend the rest of their lives pursuing its source. That's so beautiful. But I think there's a beauty about going into a room by yourself,
yes,
and just sitting with God. No one else has to see it on Instagram.
Yes. If you if you feel like the picture of Jesus that you have in your mind isn't beautiful and doesn't make sense, and there's a lot of questions, if you feel like people have been misinterpreting Jesus to you, the only way to find the true interpretation of Jesus is to let him reveal himself to you,
yeah,
through the purity of the gospel.
Right.
And I have found that there have been so many moments where when I start having questions about who God is and what his character is and does he really love me and is he really all love, I find that I'm having all of those questions because I'm only letting Jesus be revealed to me through other people. Granted, that is beautiful. The ways that God reveals himself through other people is so incredible.
Yeah.
But when that's the only source, you're letting Jesus be revealed to you through sinful humanity. And that's guaranteed to have stains on it when you let that be the interpretation of Jesus that you get. And so, like you're saying, those moments where if God doesn't make sense and it just is really sitting with you wrong and you feel like he's been misinterpreted and the Pharisee and the corrupt portrayal of Jesus that maybe religion has shown you, like, find a room where you can sit in the pure story of the gospel and watch Jesus reveal his true character to you. And I promise you, like, you will fall in love with Jesus because there's nothing sweeter than the true view of Jesus and not the stained, blurry picture that sometimes is shown by other people who claim to know what the picture of Jesus is.
Yeah. No, that just made me think, several pastors and like youth events that I've gone to, they always give their own recommendation of different chapters or books in the Bible to, like, if you're a new Christian, what to read, which book in the Bible to read first. So I ask you guys, what are your go-to books to read in the Bible?
I love this.
I love Paul so much. Like, yes, Ephesians.
So good.
Yes.
Love Ephesians, love Galatians. He wrote both of those, right?
Yep.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Yeah, I would definitely say those.
Yeah, I would say Psalms and Romans.
Yeah.
I think it gives a little bit of both because, oh, Paul does speak truth, but I've always had a special connection to Psalms.
Yeah. I love the book of Mark. It's the most straightforward gospel where if you need to be able to see life through the lenses of Jesus and you're new to all of it, sit down with Mark and just read it through. You can read it in one setting in like an hour and a half. And I love Mark. I love Psalms too. That's like the best morning devotions ever.
Yeah. No. And like the Bible, no matter how many times I read a book over and over or read a verse over and over, I always gather something new. So I think that's also one of the reasons why the Bible has stayed with us since the beginning and like since it was written.
Yeah, like the verse that his mercies are new every morning.
Right, right.
Like Jesus never grows stale. Like so much else in the world, Jesus never grows stale.
Yeah. Well, I think, I hope, I pray that you guys got a blessing out of this because I know I did. Yeah. And we just want you to know that it doesn't matter necessarily if you're starting out or if you have been in the church for so long, like Jesus has that same exact call to each of you. And, you know, reading the Bible might seem daunting, but just to know that you will find his face, you will find his love in the words that he wrote. And to start off small, maybe it's just like, hey, God, thank you, you know, for today, you know, just making sure that you're thanking him, because that's kind of like how it started off for me too. If you thank him for something small every day, you begin to see so much more. And so maybe like that could be a start for you, or maybe you just incorporate that already in your devotionals. But either way, thank you so much for joining us. We've had a blast.
Yes.
And go to Taco Bell.
I was just gonna say that. Go order your favorite thing from Taco Bell.
Download the app. You'll get a lot cheaper deals.
Yeah, go to Taco Bell and listen to a Lainey song.
I was just going to say, go to a Lainey concert.
Listen to a Lainey song, go to a Lainey concert.
Give
and
Paul Jason Klein a follow.
Give him a follow, for real. And best of all,
work at summer camp.
Work at summer camp. And read your Bible.
Amen. We'll see you guys next time. Bye.